Right now, it's time for Armed American Radio's Daily Defense with Mark Walters.
Welcome to the Armed American Radio Daily Defense Studios. I am Mark Walters, and I am going to open this program today with what I had planned on opening up with yesterday, because yesterday was April 19th. Now, you might be asking, well, what's April 19th? Besides being my beautiful wife's birthday, it's also the birth, or the beginning of the birth, if you will, of our great nation. The 242nd anniversary of the battles of Lexington and Concord. I had planned on opening up the program yesterday with it, but sometimes that kind of plan doesn't come together. The great Dave Workman, through scheduling and so forth, was able to make it for the full hour yesterday. We had to kind of shift the schedule around. So we're going to do that for you today. I got a great opening segment for you. You're going to learn something here about a day that, quite frankly, should be an American holiday. April 19th should be an American holiday. Joining me to kick off this segment and to stay with me for the hour, who was supposed to be here tomorrow, Lee the Gun Writer Williams from the Herald Tribune. And you heard me say yesterday that Kat Mortensen from the National Rifle Association was going to be here today. We couldn't do that because of the shift of the schedule, but that's okay. We're going to do it all now. We have all of the time in the world because they can't silence this microphone of freedom. So let's start with Lee, the Gun Writer Williams. How you doing, brother?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. I called you Lee Williams, not Lee Michaels, right?
Yes, you did.
Okay. Well, Lee Michaels up there at the Patriot, man, sometimes he sticks in my head. I apologize in advance. I've slipped a couple times, and I'm not looking at a paper, man, and you guys are both great dear friends of mine. So let's start with this. April 19th is the anniversary of the 242nd anniversary of the battles of Lexington and Concord, right? So let me read an email, Lee. This comes to me from John Carr, and it's titled Lexington and Concord. Mark, I think today may be a good day to barbecue a nice thick steak as we celebrate the 242nd anniversary of the battles of Lexington and Concord. This should be a high holiday for all your listeners to mark an instance of citizens banding together to tell the government, no, you are not taking our arms. I hope you mention this momentous day on your show today. Most media outlets are oblivious to the history that makes us great. Best regards, John Carr. John, thanks for the email. I'm sorry I'm getting to it a day late, but that's okay. Because Lee, John is right. The media never touch on this. This absolutely, April 19th, should be an American holiday, shouldn't it?
I couldn't agree more, man. And I know a few state lawmakers down here who I'm going to get on the phone with as soon as this hour elapses. This is a really good idea.
And it's a great idea.
History, yeah. Yeah,
well, it's, if you don't know what we're talking about here, we're talking about the birth of, well, let's just say you might have heard the shot heard around the world. You know what that is. I'm going to play some audio for you from, I believe it's from the History Channel. It is from the History Channel. I want you to take a listen to this, because what you might not know is that the American Revolution started and the shot heard around the world, which was the first shot fired, the first volley fired in what would later become the American Revolution, was fired in defense. We think no one knows exactly who fired the shot. We don't know if it was the British side. We don't know if it was the American colonists. It doesn't. That's neither here nor there. Frankly, here's why. What we do know is you've heard of Paul Revere's famous ride. The British are coming. The British are coming. All that is true. And what he was doing was notifying the colonists that the British were coming for a gun grab. They were coming to confiscate the colonists' guns. Most Americans are unaware of that. The left-wing media doesn't want to tell you that. And I don't know what they're teaching in schools anymore, but let's take a listen to the American Revolutionary History video, First Revolutionary Battle at Lexington and Concord. It is 1 minute and 57 seconds long, and you'll get a great education. And then Lee and I will discuss it afterwards. Here you go.
It's April 19th, 1775. The sun is rising on the village of Lexington, and the first battles of the Revolutionary War are about to begin. 700 British soldiers march into Lexington at daybreak. They're on their way to Concord with orders to confiscate hidden weapons. Waiting in a tavern for the British are 77 colonial militiamen, a group of untrained soldiers.
We're talking about a bunch of farmers, very, very part-time soldiers, and they're facing these impressive-looking ranks of red-coated British soldiers.
The colonists aren't surprised to see the British. In fact, they've been warned by spies like Paul Revere, who spent the night before riding through the area on horseback, giving out information on British troop movements.
They're all standing there, they're all armed, and nobody knows exactly what's going to happen. And then somebody fires. Nobody knows to this day who fired first. But once the shooting started, then everybody, all these armed men, leveled their weapons, began blasting away.
Eight colonists fall dead or die, and 10 more are wounded. The victorious British regroup and begin marching towards Concord. In nearby Concord, the British discover the weapons they're looking for, three massive cannons, and smash them. But the colonists confront them on a bridge just outside of town. A battle erupts. Dozens die on both sides. But here the colonists defeat the British, who retreat back towards Boston. The colonists can't believe they've won.
At the time, nobody realized what the significance of this skirmish was. It was Americans against British on this one morning. But it turned out that this skirmish was the first battle of the American Revolutionary War. It was the first step toward American independence.
That, my friends, is what became known as the shot heard round the world. That changed the history of the world forever. And we never hear enough about this. Now, we do talk about this on this program every year. We mention this. Lee, the significance of that cannot be overstated, can it?
No. I mean, you have basically farmers, ill-trained militia, going up against what at the time was the world's most powerful army. And they were there, like you said, for a gun grab. That's what led to it. I really like the holiday idea, brother. I think you're really on to something here.
It's amazing to me that that hasn't been considered before. It was amazing to me that it wasn't considered back then, because what would happen from 1775 until 1783 are several years of long, costly suffering and war. Many, many deaths on both sides before America was able to declare its independence, officially declare and become an independent nation from the British. And it all stemmed from a gun grab. Now, I saw a T-shirt posted somewhere today on some dopey social media Facebook thing when I was looking through it. It said, George Washington did not use free speech to free the colonies from the British. He had a gun, and he used it. And I think it's important, Lee, on Armed American Radio, that we talk about this, at least more so than what the average American reads about in school or hears about. We all know the story of Paul Revere. The British are coming. At least I did when I was a kid. I don't hear my kids talking about it when they come home from class like I did when I was a child. And that concerns me, and it should concern you. Lee, does it concern you?
Yeah, they're not teaching American history as much as they should. No doubt about that. And another thing, Constitution. Okay, where are the it doesn't have to be constitutional law. But how about a good class on the Constitution? Kids these days, they can't name any of the amendments other than the Fifth, and that's kind of sad, actually.
Yeah, if my kids run into trouble with any of them, the one that they better get right is the Second, and they do. They know it. They can read it. I think I recorded them a few years ago saying it in their little kid voices. It was great. However,
well, my colleagues, go ahead.
Go ahead. Go ahead, please.
My colleagues know I've got a Constitution, a pocket one, sitting on my desk. If there's ever any questions, they can come to me.
Well, here's the sound of mine. It sits and resides right here on the studio desk of Armed American Radio's Daily Defense and the studio chair and desk of Armed American Radio's Monster Broadcast. This didn't just change our nation's history and free us from tyranny of British rule. It freed the world of tyranny, one would like to think. And yet here America is today on the precipice, as it has been since 1775, since the shot heard around the world, when American colonists stood up to the world's greatest power and the world's greatest and strongest military, the British Redcoats, and said, no, no, you're not going to take my arms. And what's that old saying, Lee? Free men shall never be debarred the use of arms. And it's fascinating to me that the first skirmish that would become the American Revolution, and we don't hear this enough, but you will hear it here, was fought over a potential gun grab. That is fascinating to me. You are not taking our arms. Now, there's a little bit of discrepancy. Some say you know, that when they that what happened when the British got there. But the facts are what you just heard here on this video. This is how and this is why we talk about the battles of Lexington and Concord and what exactly that means and the historical significance of that. It cannot be overstated. It led to the birth of this nation and freedom and the freest nation that the world has ever seen. And that's powerful stuff. Lee, when we come back from the break, I've got a couple more emails, and I want to ask you again about the teacher thing. I've got to go there again and get some more perspective because I have another email I want to read. And we'll get to all of it just as fast as we can. I've got Lee, the gun writer, Williams with me from the Herald Tribune down in Sarasota, Florida, back right after these messages. Don't go away. I hope you learned something there. A lot of fun.
Folks, by now you know I'm a proud member of the United States Concealed Carry Association. And you also know they love to give away guns to responsibly armed Americans just like you. Now, this is why last month the USCCA bought 10 of my listeners a brand new Kimber. Now, this month, they want you to pick any gun you want. So they're giving you 10 chances to win $1,500 to buy the gun of your dreams. Which gun is at the top of your bucket list? A brand new AR-15? A custom 1911? Think hard, because any gun you've been dreaming about could be yours, thanks to my friends over at the USCCA. Just visit defendthem.com to enter for free today, and there's absolutely no restrictions. You can pick up any gun, any brand, and any caliber you want. Your entry to win $1,500 for a brand new gun is quick, simple, and free. Don't miss out on your best chance to take home the gun of your dreams. Just go to defendthem.com right now to get your name on the entry list. That's defendthem.com.
If you had to use your firearm to protect your loved ones, would you know what to expect in the aftermath? Imagine being thrown into a cop car in front of your family. Could you have said something differently? I've had these fears, and the USCCA has alleviated them with the 6 things you didn't know would happen when the police arrive. A free guide covering 6 big mistakes that could land you behind bars. For this free guide, visit BeTheirProtector.com. That's BeTheirProtector.com.
The Second Amendment Foundation has grown into what many believe to be the most important gun rights organization in America. With hundreds of thousands of active members, it is the Second Amendment Foundation defending your rights in courtrooms across the nation. Winning these battles in local jurisdictions all the way to the Supreme Court requires tireless effort and help from you. Please help the Second Amendment Foundation defend your freedoms by joining or donating today at saf.org. Join us at saf.org. Thank you.
The USCCA Facebook page brings together nearly 2 million like-minded people, all of them interested in effective self-defense and the concealed carry lifestyle. Look for the official USCCA page on Facebook. Find the page, click the like button, and start learning all you can about becoming a responsibly armed American. And remember to share these great tips with all your other Facebook friends. The USCCA on Facebook, a great source for information on personal safety and so much more.
When seconds count, the police are minutes away, which means if your family's in danger, you'll become the first line of defense. Can you say with 100% confidence that you'll know what to do? What about the gun laws in your state? Do you know them? One wrong move, and you'll be the one handcuffed in the back of a squad car. Which is why 170,000 responsibly armed Americans rely on Concealed Carry Magazine for the latest on ever-changing gun laws and life-saving training drills. You'll get unbiased gun and gear reviews and read true stories from real people who carry every day. There's even a quarterly women's section with training and information designed specifically for the female shooter. This is important, which is why when you activate your subscription, you'll be entered to win 1 of 4 guns. Just go to oneoffourguns.com. That's the number 1of4guns.com right now to start your subscription and claim your chance to win the gun of your dreams.
Hi, it's Mark, and I have a plea for help. Gun-hating billionaire Michael Bloomberg is up to his bag of tricks by funding studies designed to fool the American public into thinking your guns cause crime. As expected, the media plays right along. Unfortunately for him, John Lott and the Crime Prevention Research Center does the real research to measure the true impact of guns on crime. But we need your help to do it. Please donate today to help John and the CPRC get the truth out. Visit crimeresearch.org, crimeresearch.org to donate. Crimeresearch.org. Thank you.
Right now, it's time for Armed American Radio's Daily Defense with Mark Walters.
Back in these Armed American Radio Daily Defense studios, having more fun than we should be allowed to have, the fastest hour of radio. If you were tuned in yesterday, you saw how fast that fly. Boy, that conversation with Dave Workman was great. And another one lined up with a good friend of mine and regular contributor to this daytime show, Lee, the Gunwriter Williams. Lee, where can everybody find you? TheGunwriter.com, right? Am I missing anything? It's pretty simple. No excuses for not going out and reading your stuff. TheGunwriter.com. Pretty easy, huh?
Yeah, make sure they put the in front of Gunwriter and they're there.
Oh, yeah. See, you just confused it. TheGunwriter.com and they're there, right? Okay. Just kidding with you. TheGunwriter.com, TheGunwriter.com. You can see everything that Lee writes. And he also writes and talks about what goes on this program as well as a contributor to the program, and we appreciate it very much. Lee, powerful stuff with that shot heard around the world. I know I'm going to get some emails. I always do. Mark, thanks for covering it. Thanks for talking about that. You know, no one else on the news discussed it at all. Nobody did. Nobody talked about it. Nobody brought it up. It's just forgotten history. And how do you forget that? How do you forget where you came from and how you got there? The left doesn't want to remind us that it was a skirmish fought over a gun grab. They don't want to do that because it just blows their narrative right out of the water from day one, quite frankly.
Yeah, we didn't use sarcasm to get the British to leave. I can't imagine what those guys thought when they saw those red coats all in a perfect order, perfect line. You know, our guys didn't have any uniforms and probably guns and 40 or 50 different calibers. They weren't, and it wasn't any standardization back then. That must have just been an awesome, horrific sight for them. Yet they pulled.
Well, it is fascinating. There are some other great, there's some great little trivia about that. It is widely understood. I think it's fascinating to this day. Anybody you hear talk about it from a historical standpoint will tell you no one knows. There is absolutely zero indication of where that first shot came from. There is speculation. And you'll hear different parts of the story, but it is fascinating. I'm a big student of history. I love this stuff. But it is originally the British notified the colonists to disperse. And there is a certain element out there that believes that the colonists, seeing the redcoats, began to disperse and that the first shot may have been accidental during a retreat. You can find stories to that effect as well. Again, it's theory. It's conjecture. No one really knows. It could have been a British troop firing. It could have been an accidental shot. It could have been an American colonist that said, ain't treading on me, pal. No go. We just will never know. What we do know is the significance of that shot and what it led to. And what is fascinating, and this trivia can be validated, I believe I've seen it in three or four different locations from highly reputable sources, but the British troops were getting off four shots to the colonists one because these were British professional regulars. So they were under withering fire and somehow succeeded in that second round. And it is truly fascinating. And, of course, the rest is history. But all right, we're going to move on to another subject. Lots I want to cover with you, Lee. I've been asking my esteemed guests over the course of the last week and a half, about an issue that I really began thinking about. I asked it when it occurred back in Brandon, Florida, a few months ago, not far from where you are, literally right up the road by about 50 miles from you right now, when the double murder teacher suicide occurred with the two women living together in a relationship, and one was estranged from her husband, and he came to the house, and we all know what happened. It was a horrific scene, double murder and a suicide. The women were armed. They were both educators. One was a sixth-grade teacher. One was the principal. They were involved in a relationship, and that's key to the email I'm going to read you here, to keep that in mind, because I love getting the perspective from you, the listener. Mark at armedamericanradio.org, if you want to jump in on this conversation. I'm looking for your thoughts on this, and I appreciate everybody sending in the email. I'm getting a lot of it. But, Lee, that individual, the psychopath, estranged husband, could very well have shown up at that school and murdered those two, okay? He didn't. He chose to go to their home, and that was by luck. That was by luck. That school in Brandon was fortunate, that middle school. Now, let's fast forward to San Bernardino just a few days ago. What the left is characterizing as a school shooting, it is not a school shooting. It was an ongoing documented domestic violence, abusive situation that unfolded at a school because that's where the one of the two parties worked. She was a teacher at a middle school, public school. Yet again, we had the same incident, domestic violence at the school. This time, unfortunately, the individual chose to hunt her down, his intended victim down, where she worked. Now, I made the following statement. Here's the caveat. He would have done it. That's why it's not a school shooting. It just happens to be where she worked. He would have hunted her down if she worked at a meatpacking facility. He would have hunted her down if she worked at a shoe store. He would have hunted her down if she worked in a warehouse or distribution center on a shipping dock somewhere. He would have hunted her down if she were an accountant or a lawyer in an office. It made no difference. Would we have called it a law firm shooting? Would we have called it a meatpacking facility shooting? Would we have called it a shooting at a shoe store, a mall shooting? The left would care. They love the fact it happened at a school, as disgusting as that is to make that statement, because they can characterize it as another school shooting, when in fact it was a domestic violence incident. Lee, I want to ask you this question. Should those teachers, educators, in classrooms with our children under their charge, be required by the school? Remember, this is public sector we're talking about. These are taxpayer funded. Their salaries are paid by you. They're paid by me. These are our children. Should these teachers, who have an ongoing documented domestic violence situation unfolding in their personal lives, be put on administrative leave and removed from that school while the threat is still in existence, until they can show that threat has ended, whether it be the jailing of someone or whatever the court decides, because we don't want to abandon due process here, okay? Either on the front end or the back end. I'll explain what I mean on the front end in a minute. But what's your opinion? Should these teachers be required? And I ask that for one reason. As a parent of a middle school child, I would be livid if I found out my teachers, my daughter's sixth grade math teacher, or my son's sixth grade math teacher, were murdered in her home because of a violent, abusive relationship that I found out after the fact had been going on for over a year, and the school knew it, and only by the grace of God did that psychopath not take out his vengeance in that school while my daughter was in that class. What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. They should have been put on admin leave. That wouldn't trigger any due process issue in my mind, because it's paid leave. And you have to keep in mind, I just read something the other day, a middle school student, I forget the state, I'm sorry, was suspended for a year for bringing a squirt gun to school, obviously not a firearm.
And here great you have point.
A demonstrable issue of violent potential working in your building, yeah, I think they should be put on admin leave. I'm sorry, go get your affairs in order, work it out, whatever you have to do. But with the children in the classroom, we cannot have you posing that type of risk. Remember the kid who chewed a Pop-Tart into the shape of a pistol?
Yeah, what you're mentioning is exactly why I'm asking all of my tremendous guests. You're all experts in your fields. That's why you're the gun writer for the Herald Tribune. That's why your columns get picked up nationwide. That's why I want your opinion on. So I want the listeners to hear variety of opinions on this. I've come to a conclusion, and as the host of this program, I have spoken to people involved in previous and current ongoing domestic violence. I have spoken to teachers that are currently active now. I have spoken to law enforcement, and I have spoken to parents. And I have formulated, through some critical thinking, my answer to my own question, and I'm the only one asking that question that I can find, and I think it's a very legitimate and an important question to ask in today's environment. And I'm going to announce that. I'm going to tell you what my thoughts are on the Sunday Monster broadcast. When we come back, I want to read another email that I got from you, a listener, right after this. Lee, the gun writer Williams, continues. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Imagine you're walking through a parking lot at dusk. You're with your children. As you approach your car, you see a large man closing in. Something seems wrong. Something is wrong. You calmly move in front of your kids and turn towards the attacker. Your mind flashes back to everything you've learned. The man is now 30 feet away. You don't make a move yet, but you can feel the weight of your 9mm on your hip. You hear yourself confidently issue the command, "Stay back!" And then it happens. The attacker understands what only criminals can comprehend. He has picked the wrong target. He quickly turns around. "What's wrong?" says your child as you get in the car. "Nothing. Nothing's wrong, honey. Everything is fine." Get a gun and master its use. The Self-Defense Shield from the USCCA will help you understand gun safety and self-defense. The USCCA Self-Defense Shield gives you education, training, and a tenacious legal defense. It's your path to become a responsibly armed American. Discover how a gun and your family are the perfect fit. Visit freegunguide.com. That's freegunguide.com.
Hi, it's Mark, and I have a plea for help. Gun-hating billionaire Michael Bloomberg is up to his bag of tricks by funding studies designed to fool the American public into thinking your guns cause crime. As expected, the media plays right along. Unfortunately for him, John Lott and the Crime Prevention Research Center does the real research to measure the true impact of guns on crime. But we need your help to do it. Please donate today to help John and the CPRC get the truth out. Visit crimeresearch.org, crimeresearch.org to donate. Crimeresearch.org. Thank you.
Do you have 2 minutes for a great tip concerning defensive firearms or the concealed carry lifestyle? Check out Into the Fray, a weekly video blog hosted by Kevin Michalowski, editor of Concealed Carry Magazine. Into the Fray covers every aspect of self-defense, from legal and ethical issues to the latest gear and tactics. Accurate, direct, and easy to share with all your friends, you can find every episode of Into the Fray at IntoTheFrayVideo.com. That's IntoTheFrayVideo.com.
Hi everybody, Mark Walters here. Folks, whether you carry a gun already or are even considering it, and this is very serious business, one of the most important steps that you can take is to join the nation's number one resource for the armed citizen, the United States Concealed Carry Association, the USCCA. They sponsor the show. You know who they are. Folks, now is the time to learn how to protect yourself, your family, your property, and your business with a concealed weapon, because you never know when you may need to. The USCCA is designed specifically for those of us who have chosen to take our personal defense very seriously. I've put together special membership offers for the Armed American Radio listeners, you, at jointheuscca.com. That's jointheuscca.com. Now is the time to join the USCCA and take advantage of the incredible resources available only at the USCCA. That's jointheuscca.com. These are troubling times in America, folks. Become a member today.
Picture this scenario. Two masked men break into your house. They're armed with weapons and a look of drug-fueled rage. To protect your family, you're forced to take matters into your own hands. You do what you have to. You pull the trigger. Minutes later, the police arrive and suddenly you're handcuffed and pushed into the back seat of a cop car. Pause there for a second. If this were to happen to you, would you know what to expect? Would you know exactly what to say to the police and what not to say? Would you know who to call? Every responsibly armed American needs to know the answer to those questions, because believe me, you don't want any surprises when the police arrive. Go to BeTheirProtector.com right now and get your copy of the USCCA's brand new free guide that'll reveal the 6 things you didn't know would happen when the police arrive. After a self-defense incident, knowing what to expect when the police show up can truly be the difference between freedom or a jail cell. Get your personal copy of this free guide right now at BeTheirProtector.com. That's BeTheirProtector.com.
Back to Armed American Radio's Daily Defense with Mark Walters.
Welcome back. Armed American Radio's Daily Defense continues, educating, informing, and entertaining responsibly armed Americans every day of the week. A lot of people don't like that. A lot of people don't like the name of this program. I love that. I love that there are people that don't like it. Lee, your thoughts on that one?
Haters got
Armed American Radio.
They got to hate. That they always.
That was on the BBC, I guess it was last year, and I guess he says, Armed American Radio. I guess the name says it all, Armed American Radio. So what does that mean? I said, well, how you doing? Great to talk to you, too. Let's get going, shall we? All right. Last thought on teacher privacy was the title of this email. Mark, really enjoyed the interview. Oh, before I go here, Lee, let me say this. Your comments reminding us of the Pop-Tart and so forth are probably the best response I've gotten from everyone I've asked this question to, and that's been a pretty good who's who list. You reminded us, yeah, I mean, here we've got teachers with ongoing, documented, violent cases in their private lives, chaos, violent chaos in their private lives, and they come to the classroom, yet we're throwing kids out who chew Pop-Tarts in the shape of a gun or point their fingers or pick up a stick that looks like a gun, and we suspend these 5-year-olds. That's a great point. And I wish I'd have thought about that. I didn't think about that myself. You're absolutely right about that. No one else has replied that way. I thought that was brilliant. So let me go back to this email here, keeping that in mind. Mark,
Really enjoyed the interview with David Codrey, especially the Virginia Tech discussion. While the teacher shooting wasn't really the thrust of his interview, he did say something that got my attention. Something to the effect that just because you are working in the public sector, your right to privacy should not, quote, be negated. The thinking is about what should be, but unfortunately things are usually more complicated. I don't like the fact that any email I send or receive at work is subject to an open records request by the media or even any private citizen in my state. I don't like the fact that my name, salary, position are posted on a newspaper's website. But all this is possible under the auspices of avoiding a conflict of interest. Laws are written now to make it difficult for public sector employees to participate in conflicts of interest, i.e., running a business from work, influencing contracts or purchasing decisions, etc., etc. The cost is privacy for the public sector employee. We are subject to public scrutiny, usually by means of the media. This is why my employers would want to know what I do outside of work. That's right. So if I were even a volunteer board member for, say, the Second Amendment Foundation, they'd want to know in case there's potential for a conflict of interest, using my position to influence public funds, policy, hiring, contracts, again, etc. I don't like it, but this is the rationale behind it. Now, what about teachers? If a teacher involved in something lascivious, a member of an organization that has at its goal something to do with your kid you don't know about, say they are taking pictures, I am sure the parents would want to know. As you say, evil exists, and this happens all the time. Just yesterday, yet another teacher was busted for an inappropriate relationship with a student. This is something these laws are supposed to prevent. In this particular case, I suspect the nature of the relationship between the teacher and the vice principal might have been a factor in keeping it hush-hush, not just because of the non-traditional nature of the relationship, but most public sector and private sector, for that matter, employers have policies about couples in the workplace, i.e., so now that you are married, one of you needs to leave your position, or a policy that prohibits cohabitation between manager, vice principal in this case, and an employee, teacher, as a form of quid pro quo. So it gets very messy when kids are involved. I know that I've strayed far, far from Armed American Radio Land, and I read all the comments from your Ammo Land column on your article. Things can fly off to Never Never Land quickly. I just wanted to offer this perspective because things aren't so simple as, it's my privacy. I am definitely pro-privacy myself. I just understand that certain circumstances of public trust may cause some of us to make some sacrifices. As always, keep up the good work and definitely keep sipping your iced coffees in studio. That's from Ken in Texas. Well, Ken, in honor of you, there's a sign on the studio door here at Armed American Radio Land that says, no food or drink in studio. So hold on one second. Let me take a sip of that coffee in honor of you. Hold on. Ah, there you go. Lee, second email I've gotten to that effect reminding us that teachers are public sector employees, that their right to privacy is nil. And I want to go a little further. I was a private employer for a number of years. I fired people, and it was painful. They were friends of mine. These people that worked for me for years that moved to come to my facility in Tampa, Florida, and left where they were living to work for me. They got themselves involved in personal issues that I simply could not have in my workplace, and I was forced to let them go. So what are your thoughts on that and an email to that effect?
Well, I file public records requests pretty much every week as part of my job.
Why? Because tell us why. That's important.
It's my job to hold people accountable, especially if they're paid by public funds. And if you don't want that, then don't go work for a public school. Don't go work on the public side. Go over to the private sector side. I think, there's a lot of valid privacy concerns. However, in light of what we're talking about today, those go out the window when you're talking about the safety of children in the school. So, yeah, I get the privacy angle, and maybe a lot of what they do when they're not working shouldn't be brought up. But we're talking about kids' safety. I'll stand by what I said earlier. If they're in a violent relationship or a relationship where there's been restraining orders filed, they should stay home on admin leave until they get that worked out. Because obviously, look what just happened. We see it all the time. And you're right on the school shooting. I don't consider it a school shooting, but it occurred in the school. If they're in that type of situation, if they're worried about that, they need to stay at home.
Yeah, powerful stuff. Really is. I appreciate your insight. I hope this is you know, I'm not trying to be redundant here. This is an ongoing topic of discussion that I've been having over the last week. And again, I keep looking for this. I've got alerts out for this. I don't see anybody else asking this question. And I'll tell you, it really fascinates me is why the left isn't asking this question. Why? You've got to wonder why. Well, I mean, my gosh, they're all for getting a gun off of a T-shirt in a school, but they're not concerned about this. Now, let's go to due process. Let's go to, there's two due process here that I want to, there's, we can partition this. We can divide this. Due process on the front end. Let me be very careful here. Ex parte, one party petitions a judge for a restraining order. If that individual who is being petitioned against has not had the opportunity to stand up in front of a judge to defend against that order, then my response is no, that individual is due his privacy or her privacy, okay? Until it goes up in front of a judge. Now, when I say documented cases, I want to be very, very clear here. I'm talking about, in these two instances were, where these were ongoing violent domestic situations that were documented to the tune that these individuals had an opportunity to get up in front of a judge. This was an ongoing court fight, and these two men were known to law enforcement as being, now we're not talking as being violent. We're not talking about an individual who is embroiled in a very nasty divorce and the kids are at stake, and you've got a scorned spouse of either sex, makes no difference, making terrible accusations against the other in an attempt to get the kids that have no basis in fact. There's a difference between the two, isn't there? Because we have to be very careful here, and we have to protect the rights of individuals, their privacy, in the sense that due process is due them, Lee, correct?
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. But when the order is signed, I'm with you.
Yeah, when the order is signed and it's gone through that due process, that's where I want to make that distinction. It's very, very, yeah, very important. So many times
these things are used as tools. They're used out of spite. They're used to get the kids. But when that judge signs it, then I'm very comfortable with what I've said.
Yeah, as much as I hate to say it, you know, the comfortable, gosh, in a situation like this, there's no easy answer. As Dave Workman pointed out on the program yesterday, if you tuned in, it is a difficult conversation to have, but yet it is one that we have to have. And I am shocked, quite frankly, that I seem to be the only one asking this question. It certainly begs an answer, at least a discussion. And I'm open to everything. I don't pretend to sit here and have the answer, but I will give you my thoughts. I have formed my opinion on this. I'll let you know on Sunday. When we come back, the Everytown Orange Shirt Gang is at it again. And I want to read you an email I got on that. And I'll read you what I'm talking about relative to the Orange Shirt Group again, because the gun grabbers are out in force thinking their orange shirts are going to save the day. We'll be back with Lee, the gun writer, Williams, right after this.
When seconds count, the police are minutes away, which means if your family's in danger, you'll become the first line of defense. Can you say with 100% confidence that you'll know what to do? What about the gun laws in your state? Do you know them? One wrong move, and you'll be the one handcuffed in the back of a squad car. Which is why 170,000 responsibly armed Americans rely on Concealed Carry Magazine for the latest on ever-changing gun laws and life-saving training drills. You'll get unbiased gun and gear reviews and read true stories from real people who carry every day. There's even a quarterly women's section with training and information designed specifically for the female shooter. This is important, which is why when you activate your subscription, you'll be entered to win one of four guns. Just go to oneofourguns.com. That's the number one of the number four guns.com right now to start your subscription and claim your chance to win the gun of your dreams.
Folks, you know that the USCCA protects responsible gun owners if we're ever forced to use our weapons in self-defense. Recently, a USCCA member witnessed his neighbor being assaulted in his front yard. He drew his weapon to stop the threat and was arrested, even though he never fired a shot. Would you know what to say to the police and what not to say if this happened to you? Visit BeTheirProtector.com for the USCCA's free guide, The 6 Things You Didn't Know Would Happen When the Police Arrive. That's BeTheirProtector.com.
Hi, it's Mark, and I have a plea for help. Gun-hating billionaire Michael Bloomberg is up to his bag of tricks by funding studies designed to fool the American public into thinking your guns cause crime. As expected, The media plays right along. Unfortunately for him, John Lott and the Crime Prevention Research Center does the real research to measure the true impact of guns on crime. But we need your help to do it. Please donate today to help John and the CPRC get the truth out. Visit crimeresearch.org, crimeresearch.org to donate. Crimeresearch.org. Thank you.
Do you have 2 minutes for a great tip concerning defensive firearms or the concealed carry lifestyle? Check out Into the Fray, a weekly video blog hosted by Kevin Michalowski, editor of Concealed Carry Magazine. Into the Fray covers every aspect of self-defense, from legal and ethical issues to the latest gear and tactics. Accurate, direct, and easy to share with all your friends. You can find every episode of Into the Fray at intothefrayvideo.com. That's intothefrayvideo.com.
Hi, it's Mark, and I hope you're enjoying this week's broadcast. You know, over the last several weeks, you've heard me mentioning a website, usccaonair.com. We have some amazing sponsors here on this program, and one of them, the United States Concealed Carry Association, helped create this program. Since that time, just like Armed American Radio, the USCCA has exploded in growth to become the nation's number one resource for the responsibly armed citizen. The USCCA has also become famous for their promotions, as if you needed more incentive to join the United States Concealed Carry Association. Free guns, thousands of dollars in merchandise, and free ammunition, etc. to lucky promotion winners. You too can win by simply visiting the website usccaonair.com. usccaonair.com. That site is reserved for you as an Armed American Radio listener to keep you updated on their latest promotions. Now, I'll tell you about the promos on every program, but you can still check for yourself by visiting usccaonair.com. Don't miss out.
The Second Amendment Foundation has grown into what many believe to be the most important gun rights organization in America. With hundreds of thousands of active members, it is the Second Amendment Foundation defending your rights in courtrooms across the nation. Winning these battles in local jurisdictions all the way to the Supreme Court requires tireless effort and help from you. Please help the Second Amendment Foundation defend your freedoms by joining or donating today at saf.org. Join us at saf.org. Thank you.
And now your host, Mark Walters.
The Gun A Day giveaway today is awesome. This is a firearm I've never owned. And I don't know why I have never owned it, quite frankly. I started thinking about that just a second ago when I looked at this during the break. But the Gun A Day giveaway, you have 7 hours, 11 minutes, and 36 seconds from right now to win the Gun A Day by activating one of the three USCCA self-defense shield silver, gold, platinum self-defense shield insurance policies. One of three. One for every budget. We go through this every day. You got to have this stuff. I'm telling you, you got to have it. You got to have it. But today's Gun A Day giveaway is the FN57. Hey, Lee, $1,343 manufacturer suggested retail price on the FN57. What are your thoughts on the 5.7? I mean, come on now. This is a great pistol.
I know a lot of guys that swear by it. I know my co-host carries one. I know they're expensive. I know the it's a hell of a gun. And FN doesn't churn out trash. So yeah. If you want that caliber, a lot of guys will carry them because they'll match up with their P90. And they'll have a nice carbine pistol combination, same caliber.
About 2,370 feet per second muzzle velocity on this pistol, if I'm not mistaken. It's a great firearm. Don't hold me to that number. I believe that's accurate. But the price of this gun has come down. I remember when these guns first hit the market, they were almost double what they are today. But you can win one today. All you have to do is go ahead and activate your membership. Again, one of the three, silver, gold, or platinum. I have platinum, and I know, Lee, you're getting platinum soon. I'll just let you know that. Everybody, Lee's going to have this insurance as well. Very important stuff to carry as an insurance cover. You may have insurance for your house, for your boat, your cars, your life. This you need to save your financial life from ruin. God forbid you have to use a firearm to defend your life and the wrong thing happens and you wind up being investigated and arrested. This insurance is going to save the day for you, I can promise you. So you can also win, by the way, if you don't win the Gun A Day today, you will be in the running for the Ultimate Home Defense Arsenal. There will be three winners. This package is valued at over $10,000. It is ongoing through April, so make sure to head over to usccaonair.com. If you have purchased this insurance, as a result of listening to me on this program, send me an email and let me hear your story. I'm accumulating them now, and I'm getting some fantastic emails And I will be reading some of these and bringing one of you on the program to talk about it in a subsequent broadcast. Mark@armedamericanradio.org. I've got some great emails from you. Thank you very much for that. All right. Lee, let's go back to Every Town for Gun Safety is out now, okay? And here's the email that I got today. Mark, this June will mark the third year we've turned America orange for National Gun Violence Awareness Day. And we need your help to make this the biggest, brightest year yet. We're asking you, our supporters, to help design our official 2017 Wear Orange t-shirts because we want to make sure your voice is heard. Thanks for being a part of this. Noel Howie, Director of Cultural Engagement, Every Town for Gun Safety. Let me go to an email I got from Frank Rose. This email came in 3 hours ago into the Armed American Radio Daily Defense Studios. Mark, what is our crowd going to do to counter Every Town's Orange Shirt Day in June for gun violence? We need a shirt to maybe Second Amendment rights in camo. Sent from my iPhone. That's from Frank. Let me answer that question, Frank, then I'll turn it over to Lee for his answer. Not a damn thing. Carry your firearm. Go about your business. The odds of you even seeing an orange shirt are infinitesimal. Don't worry about it. Don't give these people their due. We do not respond to this garbage. We talk about it here because we want you to know what they're up to. You don't have to do a thing, Frank. Put your gun inside your holster. Put your shirt over it. Carry it however you carry it, just like you do every single day. And if you see one, be nice, open the door for them, smile, and know that an armed, law-abiding, responsibly armed American just opened the door for someone who can't yet figure it out. Lee, what are your thoughts on that? Am I right? Is that an okay suggestion?
Yeah, they're not a grassroots group. They're an AstroTurf group, and there's none. They have incredibly small membership. You're not going to see them anywhere. I completely agree. I do like the camo T-shirt idea, though.
Yeah, the camo T-shirt, but you should have one of those anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
You should put a camo T-shirt on when you watch Duck Dynasty, even the reruns now, right?
Absolutely.
I know people who grow beards to watch that stuff. I mean, my kids swear by that show. I mean, it's funny. It's just not, you know, I don't know. It's not that big of a deal to me. But, no, you don't do anything to counter it. Look, let me go to the National Rifle Association meetings. They're coming up in Atlanta. Many of you are going to be there. I've heard from a lot of you, and I'll be meeting some of you. There's more discussion on that coming up in subsequent programs, too, I can promise you. We'll be talking more about that later. But I'll leave it at that for now. But the huge NRA meeting, it will be in Atlanta the 27th, 28th, or 28th, 29th, and 30th. Technically, it kicks off on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, week after this. And many, many, many thousands, or probably 80,000-plus Americans will be here. It will be interesting to see if there are as many people at this year's NRA conventions as there have been in previous years now that Trump is in office. Now, Trump is going to speak Saturday at the Leadership Council meeting at the, I believe it's Leadership meeting on Saturday, the 29th. So, you know, Lee, when you talk about the National Rifle Association meeting, you're talking about 80,000 Americans. First off, before I go any further, let me ask you this. Do you think the meeting will garner as much support this year as it has in previous years because of Trump being elected? Do you think it might slow the attendance?
No, I think they're going to turn out. And it's starting to rival SHOT in terms of prestige. A lot of new products will be debuted for the first time at NRA.
Yeah, a lot of them do. A lot of them do. No question about it. A lot of people save those products, man. They put a couple out. They don't mention it. It sits on a shelf at SHOT, and then they actually give the official kickoff at the NRA convention. So you're going to see a lot of cool stuff. I hope to see you there. My question is, you're going, or not really a question, a statement, but you're going to see some of the orange shirts at the NRA convention. They've already pledged to disrupt it. They're not going to be able to disrupt it. There will be a handful of folks, as there are. The media will gaggle all over them, fawn all over them, sweat all over them. Meanwhile, 80,000 people will file past them, and the media won't touch it. But they'll cover about a handful of orange shirts that are there, standing up to the mighty NRA. By the way, in its 147th year, this is America's oldest civil rights organization. I bet Representative John Lewis, the civil rights icon who fights for the civil rights he likes but not your civil rights as a gun owner, wouldn't tell you that, would he, Lee?
No, not at all. And I doubt he'll show.
You know, he's a Georgia rep, too. Bet he won't be there making his voice heard, fighting for your civil rights in Atlanta at the NRA convention, although he should. Would welcome him. Come on in and stand up for my civil rights, too, man. I have a right to keep and bear arms.
They forget the Second Amendment is a civil right and a God-given right of self-defense, too.
hey, let me take you to task on that. They don't forget it. They ignore it. There's a difference.
Yeah.
What are some of the top stories? We've got about a minute left. What are some of the top stories the Gunwriter is covering at thegunwriter.com we should know about, Lee Williams?
We just launched a massive project today involving Bob Keller, who was on your show last week.
Right.
It's called A Commando's Tale. There are four stories, three videos, photo gallery, a column. We have a television component, a product review, and two podcasts, including the one from Armed American Radio last week. We're very proud of it. It was a major, yeah, a lot of heavy lifting.
Well, it's up on the site. I'm looking at it right now, and I can see the audio-visual flipping through the page. Head over to thegunwriter.com, thegunwriter.com, and check this stuff out. Now, I don't have time today, Lee, to cover with you the email I got from Texas, but an individual wanted to train with Bob, and I put you in touch with him. Listen, if you've got a question for me and you want me to put you in contact with one of the guests you hear on my show, all you've got to do is ask. I'll copy them in. Isn't that the case, Lee? Didn't we do that, and aren't we putting together a training scenario for this individual with the man that was on the show?
Absolutely, and Bob's got it. He got the email, right. So he's probably heading to Texas at some point.
All right, am I going to see you here next week? You going to be in the Atlanta area for the convention?
I hope so. We're trying like heck.
All right, well, I got to tell you this. You're about 8 hours by vehicle. Vehicles are not horses and buggies nowadays. This is not 1775.
No, I know.
I hope to see you here, but no pressure, Lee Williams, the Gunwriter.
Okay.
Pressure, okay? Hey, thanks for everything that you do down there in Sarasota, Florida. And keep your fingers on the pulse. You know, you guys in Florida got a tough road to hoe, unfortunately. No positive gun bills coming up this year because of one legislator again, Anna Terry Flores. Unbelievable. Lee, the Gunwriter Williams, Sarasota Herald Tribune. Thank you, brother. We'll see you next week on the radio and hopefully at the convention. Remember, carry on, carry often, carry absolutely everywhere. Never leave your cave without your club. Never find yourself in a gun-free zone. I'll see you on the radio tomorrow. The Second Amendment Foundation has grown into what many believe to be the most important gun rights organization in America. With hundreds of thousands of active members, it is the Second Amendment Foundation defending your rights in courtrooms across the nation. Winning these battles in local jurisdictions all the way to the Supreme Court requires tireless effort and help from you. Please help the Second Amendment Foundation defend your freedoms by joining or donating today at saf.org. Join us at saf.org. Thank you.
Hey, what's up? It's AAR Shanto here. Every day you hear the passion that we have for freedoms here in America. I also have other passions, and every week you can check out what that passion is. I've started a new web series. Yes, believe it or not, with all the other things that I have going on, I went and did it. I started a web series, and I think you're going to like it. If you want to see one of my hobbies, all you got to do is check out irfnews.com. That's irfnews.com.
When seconds count, the police are minutes away, which means if your family's in danger, you'll become the first line of defense. Can you say with 100% confidence that you'll know what to do? What about the gun laws in your state? Do you know them? One wrong move, and you'll be the one handcuffed in the back of a squad car. Which is why 170,000 responsibly armed Americans rely on Concealed Carry Magazine for the latest on ever-changing gun laws and life-saving training drills. You'll get unbiased gun and gear reviews and read true stories from real people who carry every day. There's even a quarterly women's section with training and information designed specifically for the female shooter. This is important, which is why when you activate your subscription, you'll be entered to win one of four guns. Just go to oneoffourguns.com. That's the number one of the number four guns.com right now to start your subscription and claim your chance to win the gun of your dreams.